Good morning, Thomas.
Top of the morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
I did have a good week. There, for you people that go to the Sings, next month, the first Sunday of the month is coming up next week, and it's going to be the Sing up at Wolf Creek, March 3, Wolf Creek, 6 o'clock. Be there or not. Anyway, we had a good time here the Sunday it was here. Last week, I ended speaking about a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And I think before we leave this topic to move on to Chapter 16. What's going on there, Brother Jeff? Is it not going back there? I just tested it this morning back there. It was fine. I had it on and I talked and it worked fine. Operator error. Anyway, I think a little bit more has to be said about the Holy Spirit before I move on. I'm going to begin today in Genesis chapter 8. I'm going to go there. I'm going to read verse 9. The setting is Noah is on the ark. He's been on the ark for quite some time. The water is covering the whole earth. Oh, and here's the verse, verse 9. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. And she returned into the ark to him, Noah, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. Good morning, everyone. Last week, you know, they say when you go to preaching school, you're supposed to repeat yourself. We're going to begin today in Genesis chapter 8. So if you're there now, Chapter 8, verse 9. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her, and drew her into the ark to himself. Sometimes I need pictures. And I need stories to understand theology. And I think this creates that picture. It portrays what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to keep that picture of verse 9 in your mind throughout this morning. The first animal that left the ark was a raven, verse 8, a blackbird. And it says in verse 8 that it went to and fro. It goes around eating the carcasses of dead animals. Let's back up or go forward to Job. Job 1, verse 6. Satan came before the Lord one day. And the Lord said to him, "Where you been?" And look what he says. "I've been going to and fro the whole earth." He had been cruising around just like the raven was cruising around. And Peter tells us that Satan is always on the lookout for those that he can devour. But the good news, as this raven is going to and fro, Noah released the dove. The dove, all throughout Scripture, speaks of what? The Holy Spirit. Why is that? Well, if you look at the dove, not only is it white, nice pure color, but its body secretes the most dirt-repelling oil on its feathers than any other flying bird. It's also a sensitive bird, for it's one of the few animals that mate for life. The dove is the symbol of peace. Unlike vultures or buzzards, when there's turmoil and fighting going on, the dove leaves. Go back to the picture of Genesis 8, 9. Picture Noah standing on the ark, watching the dove circling overhead. Now, he could have said, if that dove wants to come on down and land on me, that's okay. I'm good. He didn't say that, did he? Scripture says he extended his hand, grabbed the dove, and pulled it into himself. Now, with regard to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, so often people say, if the Holy Spirit wants to bless me and empower me, I'm okay with that. But that's passiveness. And that will never bring the full potency of the Spirit into you. If you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, you cannot be passive. God is looking for people to partner with Him. Noah didn't stand there folding his arms and say, go ahead, land on me. He stretched it out. He reached for the Holy Spirit and pulled it in. When you became born again, the Spirit came in you. Yes, you got the Spirit in you. But does the Spirit have you? There are three different relationships that we have with the Holy Spirit. With you, in you, upon you. Now with you, John 14, where Jesus says, I'll pray the Father and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will abide with you forever. Disciples of Jesus should know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be with every disciple of Jesus. So the first relationship is to have the Spirit with you. Now, with in Greek is para, and it means to come alongside. Come alongside this podium. The Holy Spirit comes alongside you. None of you would be here today if the Holy Spirit didn't come alongside you. Whisper in your heart, psst, open up to Jesus. You need to open up and receive Christ. every single person at some point in their life, whether they're saved or not, has the Holy Spirit alongside them. Now, if they ignore and don't listen, then they grieve the Holy Spirit, and He will lead. Next, you have the Spirit in you. This is another relationship, a deeper relationship, a more intense relationship. And Jesus said, after He said He'll come alongside you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, now these are the people that grieve the Holy Spirit, they cannot receive, but you know Him, and He dwells with you and will be in you, is what Jesus says. So once you become a believer, and the Holy Spirit comes in you. When Jesus had risen from the dead, He went before His disciples, and He said to them in John 20, it says He breathed on them. And then He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. At that point, they were born again and the Holy Spirit entered them. It was in them. Now, the final relationship is upon you. Acts 1, somewhere around 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Some people call this the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or they call it the fullness of the Spirit. Or the empowering of the Spirit. The Bible calls it coming upon. Whenever the Spirit of God came upon a man, in either the Old Testament or the New Testament, it was to empower him for service to God. Something that he was to do for the Lord. Dynamically impacting him for ministry. Now you can think of them, Samson, or Gideon, or Samuel. All those three and more, I didn't list them all, it says the Spirit came upon them. And then they were empowered. Now read about those guys. It's awesome. Before or after what? The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson before he got his hair cut, although it did come upon him after as well. When his hair grew back, and he was tied between the pillars of the temple, and he prayed to the Lord, give me one more time of... And it says he was able to pull them pillars down. Spirit of the Lord came upon him then to strengthen him. One more time. Now I'll give you something to think about when you read about Samson. What if Samson didn't pray one more time, Lord? What if Samson prayed, Lord, empower me again, period? Maybe Samson would not have died in the temple, but that's for another sermon. Think about that. So how did this happen? The Spirit coming upon. It comes by reaching out like Noah did. Reach out in faith. There it is. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled. Have you hungered and thirsted for righteousness? Have you hungered and thirsted for the coming upon of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us, us being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? If you want to be filled with the Spirit, you have to reach out in faith, and that's based on God's promises. You have to reach out with hope. Hope. Titus 2, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The biblical definition of hope is what? The absolute expectation of coming good. Not that it might happen. Absolute expectation of coming good. It means we reach out in faith with hope, expecting the Lord will answer us. He says, I didn't write it down, but he says, ask in prayer, believing, and you will receive. It might take some time now. Okay. Don't laugh. It may take some time. The disciples waited 10 days in the upper room, and then the Holy Spirit came and filled the room. Now, the Spirit was given on that day of Pentecost, so he's here on the earth. We don't have to wait. But Isaiah 40 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So we don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit, but we have to wait on Him. And why do we have to wait? Although maybe all of us here want to be filled with the Holy Spirit right now, instantly. But you know, first we have to be emptied. Emptied of sin. See, I have a container that I want to put more stuff in it, but it's already full. So I have to empty it. That's us. We're the vessel that we want the Holy Spirit to fill us. But I have too much sin still in me. The Lord, if He filled me in my sinful condition, He would be justifying my carnality. And that's not right. So he says, Ken, you got to wait on me. You got to allow me to search your heart and show you what needs to be adjusted, tweaked. And if it it may take 10 days, it may take 10 weeks, 10 months. It may take 10 whatevers. I don't know. But I have to wait on Him. Wait on the Spirit of God. But there's many that desire the Spirit. They want to be empowered, and they ask in prayer, believing, but they're unwilling to wait. If it doesn't happen in the next 20 seconds, I'm done. I don't ask no more. I move on. How quickly we forget the prayer that many of us prayed from childhood. Our Father, thy will be done on earth. That means thy will be done in my life, not my will. How many people wait weeks, months, maybe longer to get tickets to a special event? A rock concert or a Super Bowl. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, can't wait more than 2 minutes. We know so little about waiting on the Lord. So little. Moses was used mightily by God, was he not? How many years did he wait? 40 and 40. 40 being raised up in the house of Pharaoh, 40 more raising sheep up in the desert. And it wasn't until he was 80 years old that the Lord says, "You go free my people." Backing up a little bit, we know the Spirit is with us. He's alongside every person. He's not telling you what to do, but he's nudging you in the direction that you're supposed to go. And sometimes I'm with my wife. Sometimes we go to a doctor's office or something, and we come out of the elevator, and she goes to turn left, and I'm beside her, nudging her that we're supposed to go the other way. It has happened vice versa. I would be lying if I said it didn't. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what he does in our life. Now that I got my notes all shuffled up, it ought to come out real good. And this gentle nudging, it's gentle. We can resist it. Oh yeah, we see a lot of people that resist it. What are you going over there for? You don't belong in there. You're an alcoholic. You shouldn't go in that bar. I'm going to witness to people.
Yeah.
Right. But when we respond to this gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit, then we come to Jesus Christ. We accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we get born again. And then the Spirit comes in us. He's no longer inside us. He's in us, dwelling in you. And now he speaks to you directly. Yes. Do not expect to hear, "This is the Lord speaking. Listen to me." It may not be a booming voice like that, Charles Heston. It may be. It's different with everybody. He could do that. Most likely, it's like 1 Kings chapter 19. Story of Elijah. How God spoke to him. Verse 11, 1 Kings 19. And he, the Lord, said to Elijah, "Get out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." So it was when Elijah heard it, the still small voice. He wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and the Lord spoke to him. How the Lord speaks to you is not the same as how he speaks to the person next to you. And it's not the same as how he speaks to me. Each one of us has to be listening to hear God from within, because he lives there. When your brother or your sister says, "The Lord spoke to me," don't be jealous. Be joyful. We're supposed to be joyful when someone else receives blessings, right? But continue to wait on the Lord.
"I'm not hearing from God."
I will say this. There's a big difference between not hearing from God and not hearing God. That's worth repeating. There's a big difference between not hearing from God and not hearing God. Because he speaks to you, but you don't hear him. Very often, our earthly problems, our family issues, our trials, our worldly affairs speak so loud in our minds and hearts that we can't hear God. Because his is a still small voice. When that happens, I suggest you wrap your head in your mantle. And you go outside in the still calm of the evening and listen. With the Spirit in you, and you're waiting on the Lord, and you're constantly listening to hear his voice, now you're ready for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to empower you, to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit. That's all the same. Prayer always precedes a day of Pentecost. The book of Acts describes many outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Never apart from prayer. In our modern day, there were great revivals in Welsh and in Korea. They were preceded by months, maybe years of prayer. Prayer is the powerhouse of the church. I quoted this earlier. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Believing hinges on faith. Faith is like a muscle. If you want to increase your muscles, what do? To them? You exercise them. If I'm to grow in depth, in strength, and in maturity, there's no way other than to go through testing, trial, and tribulation. That will increase my faith. And when I feel like I'm breaking down, I'm caving in, I'm falling apart, if I listen, I'll hear the voice of the Spirit saying, "Trust me, Ken. I know what I'm doing. These hard times are necessary to build your strength up and to give you victory." Do you want to experience a Pentecost parade? August 13th, 1727. There was a special service held at Berth-Esseldorf, Germany. Something happened that day that nobody could describe. The people that participated in that prayer session, in that chapel, hardly knew whether they were still belonging on earth or if they had been taken to heaven. That was the experience. And Count Zinzendorf explains it this way. It was a sense of the nearness of Christ bestowed in a single moment upon all the members. In fact, it was so unanimous that two members 20 miles away working that were not aware of that prayer meeting also felt deeply conscious of the same blessing. And if you read about the lives of the people that were in that prayer meeting, they were all lay people. And the average age was 27 years old. Count Zinzendorf was 27. As time went on, every single member became either a minister, a missionary, a deacon, a presbyter, a bishop, and they led many thousands of people to the Lord. It's history. It can be read and studied. God tells us through the prophet Joel, chapter 2, 28, "It shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Now, he did it on that day in 1727. It's his promise. The first time it was fulfilled was on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. There's nothing written in the New Testament that indicates that was going to be the only time it ever happened. It doesn't say it's a one-time event. Actually, we read in the book of Acts quite a bit of outpouring of the Spirit. We read about it in Samaria, Acts 8, Ephesus, chapter 19, and even with the Gentiles, chapter 10. And you're thinking what I'm thinking. I want that Holy Spirit in my life. You can have them. When I desire above everything else that the Spirit is in full control of me, that my self-love, my self-will, along with my disobedience, disappears from me, then we'll all have a overwhelming flood of grace that will sweep us into that ocean of divine love that those people felt that day. And I suppose it would be wrong if I closed out without even mentioning gifts of the Spirit. Paul talks about 9 that are in 1 Corinthians 12. And now, there may be others. Samson had the gift of strength, and strength wasn't mentioned in these 9. So it's totally up to the Holy Spirit what gift he gives you. But in 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts are in 3 categories. We have the revelation gifts, we have the utterance gifts, and we have the power gifts. And the revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The utterance gifts are prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And your power gifts that Paul mentions are faith, healings, and the working of miracles. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 through 10. Read about that. Now, although we pray for these gifts to be bestowed upon us, it's not up to us. Look at verse 11. 11 says, after he lists the gifts, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Not ours. Goes right back to our Lord's Prayer that says, "Thy will be done in my life, Lord." The Holy Spirit decides who, what, and where. And none of these gifts are under the control of the Christian. Whatever gift you may be blessed with today is for God's purpose. And after you fulfill his purpose for you, you may not have that gift tomorrow. doesn't say you're going to have it forever for the rest of your life. You may. It doesn't say you will. You may receive a different gift when he has a different job for you to do. The Holy Spirit has total control over all these gifts. Just surrender completely and see what happens. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in this hour, just as on the day of Pentecost, send your Holy Spirit in all your power. We are meeting here in one accord in our appointed place, and we wait on the promise of you, our Lord, for the Spirit of all grace, the young, the old. Inspire us now with wisdom from above, Lord, and give us hearts and tongues of fire to pray and praise and love and to do your will here on earth. We ask all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Next Sunday, Wolf Creek, 6 o'clock, all church sing.